Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. Listen, count me shocked because I got a call from Rob yesterday saying, when are we doing the podcast again? Honestly, I didn't expect to hear from you until like June.
Come on, June. First of all, there's no off season here. I just got done hosting a SiriusXM radio show. We talked predominantly about football, although we did mention that the Big Ten released the schedule for
matchups, right?
Yes, the matchups of who will play twice, who will play once, and where. That seems very early. I thought last year that was revealed in the fall, but it's funny that they put that out now because with the portal, who knows? You know, the NBA draft deadline is not till the 1st of June, and you've got the portal open until the mid-May, so that doesn't really mean much to anybody right now. But I will say this about the transfer portal.
Yeah.
This has given college hoops. Now, there's negatives of this as
well. You're going to steal. Hey, attribute this to Mike DeCourcy, who wrote this story today. You're stealing it from DeCourcy.
Oh, I didn't realize. I haven't read the story. But
I know where you're going with this.
Well, it's given life to college hoops post Final Four. Yes. It used to be idiots like you would write the top 25 too early, immediately upon the Final Four's end. And you guys would write those, and it would mostly be about freshmen, and it would incoming freshmen.
It was kind of accurate, Rob. It was kind of accurate because we knew more answers then.
Agreed. The only question marks really were grad transfers for a long time. Yes. And now with the portal, I mean, it does give drama. I mean, think about it. We've got Hunter Dickinson in the portal. Yeah. We've got Caleb Love, who was the hero of North Carolina transferring to Michigan in just 1 year. You know what I mean? It's just there are actual storylines, much like there are in NBA free agency. Now, I don't think all things are good about this, but that is one of the positives to have come out of the portal.
I love the fact that you're prepared for this. And you're only prepared because you've been doing Sirius radio show. First of all, you're talking like a host, which I might just turn this over to you because
I could host this show easily. This your is hosting skills compared to Sirius. Well, you're giving yourself too much credit. You've been hosting this. If you've been doing it, it can't be that hard.
It is not that hard. It is not that hard at all. But listen, almost 1,300 scholarship players right now in the portal. It'll be 1,300 like tomorrow. By the time people listen to this, there might be 1,300.
How many do you think don't land on their feet? How many guys hit the portal and are never played college basketball again?
Here's the difference these years. Because of the extra COVID year, I think a lot of kids just say, what the hell? I'm going to throw my name in anyway. I've used, 4 years. I don't know if I want to play another year, but what's the downside to throwing your name in if you're a COVID kid and you're just saying at this point,
you don't think you can play pro? Yeah.
I might start and get a regular job, whatever it is. Let me see what my options are in there. So, it's hard to evaluate these 4 years with the extra COVID year. I think in 2 years, it goes a little bit back to normal. And the other thing we'll talk about, we could talk about it now if you want, is this one-time transfer waiver rule. And basically, there are still waivers that can be had with this one-time transfer rule. Okay, now, mental illness, One of the things you can't get it for is a coaching change. One of the things you can't get it for anymore is a runoff. But most kids are going to try to get it through mental health issues.
Mental health and family illness.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure what the family illness part is. But again, here's my problem with it is you got a bunch of kids that are going the portal right now that have now grad transfer doesn't count. You can transfer again if you've graduated. But if you're an undergrad, they say you can only transfer once. Other than, again, some of these extenuating circumstances, which include mental illness. But there's nothing steadfast with it. You know, it's
so subjective. Like, that's the problem. There's no – even I look at Xavier Johnson and his waiver to play another season. Well, it's just if the line is 8 or whatever the games are to play or 9 or whatever it is – why does he get one and somebody else doesn't? You know, like what makes his, and I'm not saying he shouldn't get one. I don't know the details of his case. I don't know why he's even appealing. I think Indiana feels pretty confident.
He went over like 10 minutes. He went over the limit, the threshold by about 10
minutes. Agreed, but okay. And then he got hurt. About the guy that went 14 or the guy that played 22 minutes over?
Where's that line?
What is the line where you say, all right, well, we're no longer doing this? It was the same with the parent or family member illness thing. Well, all right, mom's sick, transfer home immediately.
Then it became a mockery.
But then
it became
a mockery. Oh, grandma or grandpa or second aunt or, you know, it just becomes, what is the line? And that's where the NCAA runs into these problems. They're in a way trying to do the right thing. But if you're not hardline, there's always going to be exceptions and there's always going to be a case where it's like, well, why is this and that is that? And that's where they get into trouble.
You should either be all in or all out with this one-time transfer deal. Okay, either that's all we're doing or you can transfer all you want. One or the other. I don't care. We're not giving any waivers. There's no waivers for anything, mental health or whatever it is, or everybody can transfer as many times as you want, either or. But again, just because one kid has a better – a doctor or thought, think about this. Here's a great example. If you're playing at Georgetown last year, okay, you know you're transferring probably when you start 0-12 or 0-8. You know you're probably out of there. So you're already starting to see somebody and document your mental health case, where other kids might have waited till the end of the year, not knowing they were going to transfer, hadn't seen anybody, and now they start seeing somebody on April 5th, the other kid, just because they were losing, is that mental health? You're just getting your ass kicked every game? No.
So wait, did that happen or is that
no, but it's going to happen. Okay. You watch. That. What I'm saying is, and you can pay off, Rob, if you got a buddy of yours, a family friend who is a doctor, you're telling me you can't slip him $500 and say, hey, can you backdate this for me? Yeah. That I've been seeing you for 2 years?
Right.
Course,
or probably so even if you're really a family friend, they'd probably just do it for you.
Yeah, they would do it for you for nothing. Right. So anyway, that's one thing that's going on. That's a hot button topic right now because there are a lot of players out there that are two-time transfers, undergrads.
Right.
So whether they don't even know that was the problem. They don't know right now if they're going to be eligible or not. They go in the portal not having a ton of info. Some coaches telling them, hey, you know what? We'll get you eligible through mental health. You know, other coaches are a little bit more honest with them. So these kids don't have any idea what to expect right now. But Hunter Dickinson, as you mentioned, is in the portal. Max Asmus is in the portal. Those are the two biggest names left. But I want to start, and I give you a little bit of homework, with the transfer winners and the transfer losers so far. And obviously, we still have some time, right? I mean, kids have until almost mid-May until they can go in the portal, and then there's the deadline. There are also going to be some kids, Rob, to watch out for that have put their name in for the draft. And
might go to the portal after.
We'll go to the portal after they figure out that, you know what, I'm not staying in the draft. I didn't get invited to the combine, and I still have a couple days left to throw my name in the portal. That is going to happen. And those are game changers. Yeah. So anybody who thinks, hey, once Hunter Dickinson, Max Asmus, these other guys, you know, that are still out there right now, and there's still some impactful guys, once they're done, this thing is kind of done with. they're wrong, because there's going to be some big time guys that come out of the draft pool.
Who is Hunter is like Kansas, Georgetown, Maryland. Are those his three?
He visited Kentucky and Kansas. Kentucky. He's going to visit Villanova. He's already visited Maryland and Georgetown, where he's from.
Okay. And who's A. Smith being recruited by?
Kansas State and Texas. He's visited both.
Gotcha. All right. Well, my biggest winner is a guy who won last year in the portal. It's Muss. I mean, Arkansas, they got five transfers coming in, and you talk about, I mean, L. Ellis, I have question marks because he played on such a bad team.
Yep.
Can Muss rein him in? We'll see. I mean, his numbers are good, 17-4. Tremont Mark, love that pickup. He plays so hard, defends, lefty, gets to his pull-up. Yep. He can score, but doesn't have to score. And then Caleb Battle is an elite scorer.
Yep.
You know, so I just think that with who he is bringing in, and think about getting Trayvon Brazil back.
Yes.
I like Arkansas, and Muss is doing it big in the portal.
The only thing I'll say to you is, out of all the guys they got, not one of them shot above 34% from three last year.
They didn't do that either last year. their team didn't do it last year. And I guess what? They were in the Elite Eight. So,
and that's, to me, I don't know if you can contend for a national title.
Agreed. But we're talking about the portal's biggest winners right here.
Totally. So. And they've gone in and gotten shit done early. Yeah. And like you said, I love Tremont Mark. L. Ellis can score. Menifield from Washington can score some.
He's a freshman, right?
Yeah, he's electric.
Freshman.
Battle can score. I'm with you. I'll give you – we'll kind of go through ours and we'll alternate here. I'm going to go West Virginia. You know, to me, I think what they – Jesse Edwards, talented, older, big. You get my boy Kirk Risa. They spent a good amount of money in NIL. And they got two kids from Manhattan early. Not late in the portal, but they got two kids early on that I think will help them. Jose Perez and Omar Silverio, that are older, that can help them as pieces as well. But I think Jesse Edwards was huge for him. You know, he's a game changer from the defensive end, can score some. And Kerr in a different scenario. I think we'll be good. Again, I think those are two really good pickups. Who else you like?
Houston, I mean, getting LJ Cryer and getting Damian Dunn, you are going to lose some really good guards. But as long as Jamal Shedd comes back, and I assume he will, he's declared, but could still come back to Houston, you've got a reloaded backcourt with guys that can really score, and Cryer's a guy who can really shoot at an efficient level. So I think Kelvin Sampson has reloaded in that backcourt. Looked like, you know, when Tremont Mark transferred, I was pretty surprised. Just because I felt like he kind of fit that culture, and
he was going to be a guy.
He was going to. It was finally his turn, right? Like, you've been behind Sasser and Quentin Grimes and some of these other guys, and now it's your turn. And that's where that's kind of surprising. But we see that a lot here in college basketball now. And Kelvin Sampson has reloaded the backcourt, so I think Houston's done a good job with the portal.
I'm going to give you one that I didn't think I'd say, but man, Villanova. Now, they kept Justin Moore out of the portal. That's a win right there, right? Because a lot of people thought he was going to go to the portal, and he did not. And then you add Hakeem Hart from Maryland and TJ Bamba.
I'm surprised he transferred.
Me too. I thought he'd be kind of done, but, you know, again, the COVID year, that helps. He had a solid year for a good team last year.
He's a good player. He's a little up and down at times, but he was very productive.
And they got TJ Bamba. Kid from New York, went all the way out to Washington State, can really score it. Good size for a wing. So I really like I think Kyle Neptune and Villanova did a hell of a job in the portal when I didn't know if they'd have portal money. And I'm not sure portal money got it done or if it was just Villanova and the fact that these kids wanting to play for Villanova still.
So what will be Villanova's starting five next year? Justin Moore, Hakeem Hart. Who did they lose?
They lost some Slater. Dixon's back.
So Eric Dixon's still there.
So you're in there for Hunter. You're in there a little bit for Hunter. I don't know if you get him.
I don't think they'll get him.
But the only thing I'd say is it's close to home. You know, probably right. They probably don't get him at the end of the day.
Why would Hunter not go to Kansas?
I agree. I think it honestly, Rob, of all the decisions that I've seen being made over the last couple of years, I think this is the easiest one for a kid, especially an older kid that's looking at it not as a freshman. But what, give me a downside to going to camp. You have the best passing point guard.
DeJuan Harris, yes.
You have arguably the best coach.
Bill Self, yes. And he throws the ball inside, and he's proven that time and time again, whether it's David McCormick or it's Cole Aldrich or it's the Morris 100%. Twins or it's Thomas Robbins. I mean, they throw the ball inside at Kansas.
It's a no-brainer to me, an absolute no-brainer.
Jalen Wilson declared he's gone.
He's gone.
Grady Dick is gone. Gone. He's gone too.
Yep.
McCullough is gone.
McCullough's gone too.
So I guess there is going to be some legit turnover here.
They added Nick Timberlake, a transfer from Towson, who shot about 42%. Older kid.
He needs shooting around him. Hunter, last year, every time he touched the ball, immediate post trap. That can't be for a guy that likes to score, and that's not a diss at all because I like to score, scorers like to score.
Yep.
It has to suck every time you catch the ball in your strongest position to have an immediate double team.
Sucks. That's got to suck. Right. And he did a good job out of it for the most part.
No, he did. I mean, he was great at rifling passes across the floor. I'm just sure that definitely got old. KJ Adams,
do you like them?
So he'd play the four and Hunter would play the five.
They need one more shoot. And they got a good freshman coming in.
The only reason I don't love that is because I've seen Terrence Williams play alongside Hunter Dickinson for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's a stretch four that didn't shoot it all that well either. And that KJ Adams is a worse shooter, I'd say, than him.
Yeah. KJ Adams
is not trying to shoot. You know. He doesn't shoot. He's around the basket. He's a good player. He can handle, he can short roll, he can facilitate.
They're trying to get Artario Morris, and they got a kid coming in, El Marco Jackson, who's an electric scoring point. So, yes, I think they could use one more shooter if they got Hunter. Yeah. One more just pure shooter.
I just think if you go to Kansas, Bill Self is going to put you in positions to be successful.
100%. 100%.
And he runs great stuff. Not that the others won't, but
no,
he is such a proven commodity with bigs. Yep. That's why I feel that way.
Let me tell you guys about our sponsor for today's episode, Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 a few weeks back. When we get in the middle of college hoop season, it can be hard for me to eat and drink as healthy as I probably should be, especially in late February and March when the schedule gets really busy. But I found that I've felt better as I've made AG1 a part of my daily routine. I take AG1 in the afternoons after the coffee is worn off and once the itis post-launch has kind of set in. And what I found, my energy levels are up. It's improved my digestion. And as a result, I'm not only more efficient and productive in the most important time of the year for me and for the field of 68, but I'm working out more consistently. I just feel better. AG1 is so much more than just a greens powder. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. Covering my nutritional basis for the day literally could not be easier, which is why I trust Athletic Greens. I just mix one small scoop of the AG1 formula with water, and I drink it every single afternoon. Done. Just like that. I also like that it only costs $3 a day. The price is right. If a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is the answer. They are giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Free! Just go to athleticgreens.com/field68. That's athleticgreens.com/field68. The link is in the description below. Check it out. Support the field of 68 and feel better about yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Anybody else that you looked at as a winner that you wanted to mention?
I'll say Gonzaga. I mean, now 100%. with Ryan Nemhard on board there, you know, yep. You get Steele Venters, who is the Big Sky Player of the Year. Sounds like Graham Ike. I've never seen him play.
Ike from Wyoming. Yep.
I've never seen him play, but I know he had a knee injury and averaged 19-9 the year before. So Mark Few kind of reloading there. Is there any way with Nemhard that they could convince Jesus Christ.
Bluma?
No.
Who?
Drew Timmy. They convinced Timmy to be like, yo, we got an elite point guard coming in here. Come back.
I don't see it. I think he's out. I think he's long gone.
He can make a lot of money.
But Kaluma was another kid who was going to potentially transfer out of Creighton. He's one of those to keep
an eye. Why are those guys leaving Creighton? Like, what?
I don't know with Nemhard. You know, Nemhard's brother did the same thing, obviously, went to Gonzaga.
Right, but you're knocking on the door of going to the Final Four. I don't understand.
His brother became a pro. What do these kids want more than anything? They'd rather be a pro, an NBA player, than go win a national title.
Well, can't you be both? Yeah. I feel like winning is a good way to get there.
Yes, yes. I would agree. All right, so before we get to losers, there's a couple programs I want to ask you about.
Okay.
And probably two specifically I want to go through here. One that I don't know what we can call it, if it's a winner or a loser, but it is in your conference, your Big Ten conference, and it is the Michigan Wolverines taking Caleb Love. I'm dying to know your opinion on this because I've got my own opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it was desperation meets desperation.
I think that's a good way to put it. I don't know. I feel like Caleb Love needs someone who's going to really coach him hard.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Juwan Howard won't. I think he will.
But he'll have free reign.
But
that's the problem.
They're going to need him to play almost like a hero ball type thing at times, I think. And
even more than he did at Carolina, Rob.
Agreed. And I think Caleb Love needed to go to a place where he could fit in a system and play solid basketball.
Yes, yes.
That's where I have an issue with that. And Juwan Howard will coach him hard. And Juwan Howard has also knocked on the door of the Final Four with an Elite Eight, and he's been to the Sweet 16. But with their roster right now and looking at who's on the team, he's going to have to shoot a lot. He's already done that. Yes, I've seen him do that at Carolina.
We've seen this act.
I would have liked to have seen him go to like a Houston where Kelvin Sampson's going to coach him as hard as anybody in the country, but he's going to have to play in a structured environment. And I just think right now, Michigan, with who else is on their team, it's going to be Caleb Love is going to have to make a lot of plays, you know, and that's a lot different if you're playing alongside Jamal Shedd and let's say LJ Cryer.
To me, Michigan's one of the losers, and that's a transition for me. I just think, again, you're losing Hunter Dickinson. You're getting Caleb Love. You know, the other guy you're getting here is Namari Burnett, who's a two-time transfer, by the way. An undergrad. So we don't know if he'll be eligible.
Good defender.
But we don't know if he'll play.
That's true. He might not play.
You know, he started Texas.
So he needs a waiver.
Yeah, he needs a waiver. He started under Beard. I can't remember.
What's his waiver reason? Do you know?
I mean, I assume they're all going to be mental health. Oh. I'm just assuming they're all going to be mental health because that's the easiest way to try to get eligible. Now, we haven't seen any of them go through yet. Until we see a couple go through, you know, who knows? But Caleb Love, Namari Burnett, Trey Jackson, who averaged about 6.5 points last year as a senior at Seton Hall. Those are your three additions. It doesn't look pretty if you're a Michigan fan right now for this season. Doesn't look pretty.
Yeah. I will go Vanderbilt.
You saw my tweet.
I did not. What was it?
I listed all the guys who have left.
Oh, yeah. Well, they lose five of their six top scorers. They have seven guys in the portal. Yeah. You know, Tyron Lawrence, Jordan Wright, Who's the last one? Miles
Stute.
Miles Stute, yeah.
Yep.
He's going to start.
And they only have one guy, Evan Taylor, coming in from Lehigh. So Jerry Stackhouse better pray to God he gets the Toronto Raptors job right now.
Is he up for it?
He's trying. I mean, I don't know if he can get it or not, but he was, you know, he's the coach of the G League team.
Oh, that's right. He was in 908.
It had Van Vliet, I think, and Big Boy when he was coming up. Shit, what's his name?
Oh, their best player now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. The rebounder.
His name too. Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit. Hold on. Is wrong with me? Yeah, we both suck at this right now.
Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam. Yeah. I mean, he had both of them on that 905 team, whatever that G League team is.
Yeah.
And they won.
We're in summer mode right now, even though the weather doesn't say it is.
No, the weather sucks. Killing your golf game.
Yeah, I played some in LA, but I haven't played much here in Chicago.
I'm with you. Vandy, clearly a top five loser right now. I would say Louisville to me. Is a top five loser.
Louisville's brought in who? Sky Clark.
And a JUCO guard. That's it. Oh, wow. That's it. And Sky Clark, listen, the jury's out on him completely.
Yeah,
I hope he gets healthy. I hope, you know, maybe it's just he was kind of, you know, getting some of the cobwebs off last year after the injury 2 years ago. But, you know, he didn't look like a guy that was going to be a program-changing point guard.
Right, right. Who else do you have loser-wise?
I have Oklahoma. Actually, I have Arizona. Arizona, because I thought they were going to get Nembhard, and they didn't. And now they don't have anybody yet through the portal. They lost.
I saw where their fans have been very negative about Tommy Lloyd.
Somebody said that. They really have?
Well, I saw the same thing you did. But, I saw – I think it was on a tweet I saw that was like, all right, let's pump the brakes here, you know?
I mean, listen, the dudes had you in the top 10 – for pretty much the last two seasons. Now, yeah. I know you haven't done as much as you wanted in the NCAA tournament, but it could have been a lot worse, by the way. A lot worse when Sean Miller left.
Yep, agreed.
So I think fans are out of their minds if they're going to be negative in any way to Tommy Lloyd. Yeah. I think you got to see what he does in year 3, 4. Give him some time. I was there, Rob, when they lost 3 or 4 years I was at Arizona. They lost in the first round in the NCAA tournament. So. Yep. Pump the brakes on that a little bit.
It can get worse, right?
Oh, it can get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse. Who you got any other ones? I got a few more.
Keep going. Who you got?
Oklahoma State.
Well, I feel like the sanctions just really shafted Mike Boynton.
It's so bad. I feel bad.
I know those are done now, but that killed the momentum that they had.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, they've lost a lot. You know, Avery Anderson left. A couple of their other guys left. They haven't really reloaded yet. I hope they will, but I don't know if they have NIL either to be able to compete. Seton Hall hasn't gotten
at
anything.
At a school that I know that Boone Pickens is no longer alive, but that's just shocking to hear that they would not have resources.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's hurt them. Who else did Oklahoma State lose? They've lost, obviously, Cisse. Caleb Boone, Tyreek Smith. I mean, listen, here Avery Anderson, 11 points. Caleb Boone, almost 11. Cisse was a great defender, averaged 7. Tyreek Smith, 5. Woody Newton, 4. That's 22, 29, 34, 30. Almost 40 points in the portal. That's a lot. That's a lot. Seton Hall hasn't gotten anything done in the portal. Nothing. They probably have no NIL.
Yeah.
Is my guess. And Florida State. Losing Caleb Mills and Matthew Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a good call on that one. Yeah.
USC lost Trey White, highly touted kid coming in as a freshman who was going to take a jump. But they'll add Bronny James here soon, and everybody will be happy at USC.
You don't think he's going to Oregon?
No. I've said this from last summer. I felt like USC was the easiest pick in America here because LeBron could have him close. And he wants to play with him next year, a year from now. And the only way he can do that is to be able to be around him and get him. If something's wrong, and by wrong, I mean he's not playing a lot, he needs to be able to walk in that office, and he can do that easily to Andy Enfield. and control some things. I'm not even sure if I'm Andy Enfield. They got Boogie Ellis back. They have the number one player in the country coming in, an absolutely electric point guard, and he's coming in next year. Christ, name is Isaiah Collier. He chose them over Cincinnati, and I saw him at McDonald's game. I've seen him play plenty. He's super talented. So you got him and Boogie Ellis back. So I almost feel like that's the only downside if you're LeBron. If you put him there, he's a role guy. He's a role guy. Now you could still say he's going to put his name in for the draft anyway, and somebody will take him. But are you taking Bronny James now in the lottery, Rob, just to get LeBron at 39 years old?
Boy, I will say I went to game 3 because I was in LA.
Yep.
And I watched game 4 at home last night. What he is doing in his 20th year of his basketball NBA career is unfathomable.
Insane.
Like, he was torching these young, good defenders. I mean, Dylan Brooks couldn't stay in front of him. Jaren Jackson couldn't stay in front of him. Xavier Tillman could not stay in front of him. He's getting by all those guys in the crazy, biggest right? moments of the game. I can't believe Dylan Brooks said what he said about him. That is so dumb.
Moronic.
I mean, why?
This dude wants to be Draymond. He wants to be Draymond now.
But Draymond Green's not saying that about LeBron James.
Right.
He's not.
And Draymond's done something in the league to be able to talk anyway.
Yeah, right.
But he's smart enough not to win.
But he wouldn't do that because, you know, he understands. Boy, I don't know. He's 39 years old. You use a lottery pick on a kid that I think could be an NBA player. But, I mean, do you think Bronny James is a lock to play an NBA guy if he's not LeBron's son?
No.
He's a good player, right?
Hell no.
He's a top 75 kid. I haven't seen him play.
No, they have him like top 25.
Okay, but is that inflated?
Yeah, a little bit. He's to me a fringe McDonald's kid. That's what he was. Like, you can make a case.
But the McDonald's game is no longer, to me, what it was. It used to be the who's who, and now it's more of a kind of pick and choose from the top 70 kids.
I just think, Rob, the only way I'm doing this for LeBron at 39, I mean, again, by the time he's playing with Bronny, he's going to be 40, right? No. He'll turn 40. He'll turn 40 that December, I believe. He's not playing with Bronny next year, and he'll be 39 in December. So he'll be turning 40 during that season. The only way I'm doing it is if I'm a small market team. If I'm a small market team.
But would LeBron, would he want to go? I mean, I guess he wants to play with his son.
Yes.
Would he want to go to like Oklahoma City or Minneapolis to play with Bronny?
Finish out your career with Bronny. Maybe you take somebody with you free agency wise for a year and you just roll the dice on having a.
I just can't imagine him wanting to leave LA.
But for his kid?
No, I know. For his kid. I'm not. That's a good point, but.
I will say
it would
this.
Be shocking if he went, you know what? I'm going to
as you get older,
Orlando. I'm going
as
to
you
Orlando.
Get older, you and you watch your kids get old, you know, like obviously my daughter's a few years older than, well, really not that much older than Bronny. That's kind of crazy to think about it, that, you know, LeBron started a lot younger than I did. You do anything for your kids. You just do. You have that mindset. And I think he might have that mindset already now. Like, I'm going to do anything for my kid, number one. And like, this is an opportunity. I'm going to be 40. I don't know how many years I got left. This could be it. Now, what I think he's doing wrong here is moving Bronny along quicker than you need to and not letting this thing play its run its course.
Develop. And yes. I mean, but with that time though, could come the harsh realization of the other side of you're not an NBA player. There's plenty of kids that are top 40, 50, 60 kids that go to college and they just become 3 points a game guys. You know, somebody has to be.
Yeah.
So they could. Yeah. And look, he's got every genetic advantage. His dad is LeBron James. He's got other advantages too. But he also battles some things that other kids don't. A lot of things. He's under a microscope that is as intense as anybody. He also doesn't necessarily and I know this from just some experience of things, hearing some things, he doesn't get the opportunity to necessarily try out for things without knowing he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're not going to cut LeBron James' kid. It's a huge story, right? Like, he's going to make it, but then he might not get invited to certain things because of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel bad for him because he's under as intense of a microscope as anybody. But you're right. Like, he might not get that developmental time. Hey, Rob,
we're in April 25th, and he hasn't announced where he's going yet. Yes. I mean, that's the other part here, which is kind of crazy.
Wait, right? Why has that gotten so drawn out?
How do we know? He doesn't talk. He doesn't speak to the media. So nobody knows.
Oh, yeah.
I know that basically you can't just call Bronny James.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Right. As a coach recruiting him, though.
Oh.
Like, he decides, like, they set it up, and the mom is the one who's very involved. LeBron is, too. And I've talked to coaches in the process, and they're, like, blown away by how good LeBron is with this process. Like, just so good. And it doesn't surprise me. Again,
no, he's seen all of it. I mean,
and he's handled himself, honestly, throughout his career, like, so much better than you would expect anybody to deal with. What
his big blemish is the decision.
Correct.
Which isn't even that bad.
And it wasn't his fault. He was young and he listened to the wrong people.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's his worst mark against him. Yes. And it's not bad. That's like a blip on the radar, if that.
All right, let's move on and finish this pod with most of the jobs are done with the coaching carousel. I think there were 59 changes this year, and like all but three are filled. So I think it's we got the right time now to pick, to kind of go through and our favorite hires, and then maybe a few baffling hires. Which I don't think there were many.
Looking at the list, I was, there's a couple. The only question marks are when you have no head coaching experience.
Right.
That to me is always going to be a question mark.
Fair enough. All right. What is your favorite hire? Gun to your head. The one you absolutely love this offseason. What was it?
I would say Micah Shrewsbury to Notre Dame.
Ooh, that's number one. Okay.
I think being an Indiana guy, he gets to come home. I think Notre Dame has the resources and the ability to win in the ACC.
Yep.
I think he's a fun guy to play for. I think he's a good fit for Notre Dame. And I think that with his NBA background, his age, he'll relate to players and he'll get players. So I think it's a home run hire for Notre Dame.
Come on. The number one, this was a no-brainer, Rob. You missed out on
Rick Pitino?
Yes. Come on.
Yeah, it's a great hire. He was going to be my number two.
Had to be one, though. Like, he's Rick fucking Pitino, and he's at St. John's.
I've been to St. John's. I have seen the facilities. I still want to see him prove it to me.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's the quote of the day. I still want to see him.
No, he's proven it. Don't take that out of
context. Prove it to me. I still want to see him prove it to me. Robbie Hummel on Rick Pitino, Hall of Famer Rick Pitino.
He doesn't need to prove any of his coaching acumen. I know he is one of the elite coaches to ever do it. I am saying I want to see him do it at a place that New York kids don't want to go to. And I don't know. I've been to St. John. Their facilities suck.
You know who else's facilities sucked, Rob?
Who?
Ionis.
Well, that's true. And that's fair. I mean, what did he
made the tournament? Coach.
He made the tournament and won zero games.
All right. Well, listen, it's still Iona. I get it.
Iona. Hold on. Tim Kloos wasn't doing that in Iona. Give me a break.
No, Iona's won. A lot of coaches.
Iona's good.
Yes.
How could you go to that place?
I'm not disparaging
of Iona.
I'm not disparaging.
You did. That. You just did.
No, I'm saying Rick Pitino is.
You know what I know? If Rob Doster clips that I want to see Pitino prove it to me, I will quit. That is not what I meant. I will quit the podcast. I was saying I want to see him do this at St. John, where I know the facility
stinks. All right.
That's fair. The kids don't want to go there, and they have no momentum from the last.
If I had
three hires,
if I had any ability to clip things myself, if I knew how to do it,
because you are a Judas partner.
I would do it. I would absolutely do it. I would put it out there right away. Again, I still want to see Rick Pitino. I still want to see him prove it to me.
That's not what I meant. I know he's a Hall of Fame coach. I know he's one of the GOATs to coach. I understand that.
He will get it done, Rob. That's what I'll say. He will get it done at a high level. You know, this year, I'm not sure they're going to be like, you know, we'll
I can't
see
believe how- you cited his success at Iona, though, as if Tim Kloos wasn't doing the same thing that he was.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. All right, your number two top hire is who?
Well, it was Rick Pitino, but no point to talk
about
it.
All right, number three.
I'll go Ed Cooley. I mean, I really like Ed Cooley to Georgetown. Yep. He's proven they needed somebody to give them some buzz. He does that. I think he'll recruit well there. They've got big NIL. I like Ed Cooley to Georgetown. I can't wait for the Providence game. It's going to be hilarious. Shout out to the Providence fans with me. Who hate you. I would never go with you to that game because I would feel in danger. They hate you so much.
You would probably enjoy it.
No, I know, but they might associate me with you due to this podcast, so I don't want that.
And honestly, I actually think you might not enjoy it because it could get ugly. I went to a concert in Providence this past weekend, and luckily nobody recognized me. Thankfully.
Not a lot of basketball fans. I feel like your Twitter beef has been really high.
High?
Since the Final Four on, or maybe even NCAA tournament on Twitter, you've been really getting after with people.
A lot of Barstool individuals in there. Some Providence fans that were caught in the middle of that Barstool beef with Portnoy. Your boy Titus got involved in that. He took a little bit of a shot at me.
Oh no. Yep. The rivalry continues between you and Titus from 3x3U.
That's right. That's right. When he said Brad Stevens was going to be the next Indiana head coach. Right.
I remember that. Yes.
All right. I will go with Chris Beard at Ole Miss. I just think, again, you get a guy with his coaching credentials. And I know, you know, listen, it's going to be harder for him because of everything that happened. And whether or not he did what was
reported.
I just
feel like, before you keep going, as a parent sending my child to a school, I would read that police report and go, hell no.
Yeah.
No chance you're going to play for him.
And that's going to be the interesting thing, right? Like, obviously, you know, he's already gotten the kid from Georgetown, Brandon Murray, transfer in. He's talented. He'll get his share, but yes, he's not going to get what he was getting at Texas, where he could recruit anybody in the country.
I mean, that Texas team last year, I saw him in the NCAA tournament in both Des Moines and Kansas City. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yes, he put together a team.
The fact that you got Artario Morris as your eighth man is insane.
I know. No, listen, what he put together, and that was, you know, for the people at Texas Tech that question why he left Texas Tech for Texas, that was just the tip of the iceberg, too. Like, think of what he would have done in the portal this year at Texas, coming off what they did, you know, again, obviously with Rodney Terry being the head coach.
Yep. No, I know.
So I would say Beard. Who else did you really like?
Look at the list. I only went three people I really liked.
One of my favorite here's one of my favorite ones. And this is a little bit personal. But Russell Springman getting the head coaching job at Oral Roberts, because I'll give you a little backstory to it. First of all, he recruited Max Asemus to Oral Roberts. He was the guy who got him. But Russ, years ago, he was the one who recruited Kevin Durant to Texas, named his son Durant. And then he didn't take he was offered the Mississippi State head coaching job after Rick Stansbury was fired for $1 million a year. And he turned it down.
Wow.
And it started a little bit of not a riff, but like Rick Barnes wasn't happy at that point that he didn't take it. And it just, I don't know, something wasn't the same between he and Barnes after that. So when Barnes went to Tennessee, he didn't bring Russ with him. Russ went as an assistant coach to San Diego. He was out for a year doing scouting, like, Sam Presti threw him a bone, and he was doing like scouting, making nothing at OKC. Then he went as an assistant for Paul Mills at Oral Roberts. Russ is very, very religious. And then he gets this job, this head coaching job at He's got to be 50 plus at this point, never thinking he's going to have another shot at a head coaching job. He was just happy to get back in college basketball a few years ago. So that one was really, really cool for me to see, to be honest.
That's cool. I think Tony Skin to George Mason is cool. I've always enjoyed talking to Tony. Yep. He's an assistant at Maryland last year. And the fact that he was on the George Mason team that went to the Final Four, that's cool. I think that's his first go-around, though, the head coach. I mean, he's only 36, 37.
Yeah, he looks like he's like 26.
He looks like he can play. Yeah, yes. He really does. This is another small one. Roger Pyle to Valpo. I didn't think that they would be able to get someone like that, but that's a good hire for them. Grant McCaslin to Texas Tech, really like. I know he can really coach. I've seen that up close and personal. I think, those are good.
Brian Hodgson's done a really good job already. Alabama assistant coach. He's gotten some dudes already. Dominguez from UMass. Who else is he? He's gotten a few high-level players so far out of the portal. So I think he'll do a good job. The kid Hardnett went from Buffalo. He recruited him when he was assistant, I think, at Buffalo years ago. Anybody, the head scratcher, I'll start because I actually went a little too hard at him when it happened, but was – Temple and Adam Fisher being hired at Temple.
Fisher do at the Final Four to you? He killed you with kindness.
He did kill me with kindness. When you didn't deserve it. He came up in front of you. Yeah.
When you didn't deserve it, I witnessed.
With his wife.
Yeah, she probably wanted to kill you.
I apologized to him before that. So we had already I had already apologized to him. I think I went a little too hard on the hire.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. My biggest question was, honestly –
Well, that's his first head coaching job, right?
Head coaching job. And Temple being an area, like, I think you just probably need – and he's gotten some good players from Miami when he was assistant at Miami, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to recruit the type of players you need at Temple. And it wasn't just him. It was – honestly, it was more the process. It was more the fact that they didn't get Matt Langel, you know. You're getting a white assistant coach, and you didn't get Matt Langel, who has dominated at Colgate.
Why did he not leave?
So the big thing was with Langel, one, they didn't offer him enough guaranteed money. Two, he was going to be part of like a dog and pony show if he went through the process. So it's basically like, you're going to interview, you're not the guy. You're going to have to go through the process with however many other people. And oh, by the way, we're not going to be able to give you a million plus guaranteed. It's going to be less than that.
Yeah.
And then, Charlton Young was involved. And like, Charlton Young's a Southern dude and he's coaching at Missouri right now. Like, sometimes you just got to understand, like, that job needed a Northeast guy. And Fisher is a Northeast guy. I'll give him that. But again, like, so is Matt Langel, and he's been a head coach and he's killed it at Colgate.
He's been to the NCAA tournament four consecutive years.
That was my problem. My problem wasn't that it was Adam Fisher. My problem that it wasn't Matt Langel.
Right. I got you. What do you think of the Adrian Autry hire? Syracuse guy. That's good. But never been a head coach, correct?
They were going to go within the family no matter what. And the plan was always for it to be Mike Hopkins.
Yeah, right.
But obviously Hop left and he's probably a year away from being fired right now out in Washington. Right. So you can't bring him back.
If he was doing well at Washington, would he have been the guy for
100%, 1,000%? But Hop just kind of got antsy years and years ago. I mean, he interviewed.
He wanted to be a head coach.
He interviewed at Boston College, didn't get it. When Jim Christian got it, is a West Coast guy, an LA guy, so he went out west and he had it going for a little while at Washington, and now it's really fallen off. Another weird one, Rob Jeter. Going to Southern Utah Western Illinois.
He's so Midwest. I mean, he had been
Southern Utah. Like it's one bad job for another, isn't it? I mean, I've been to Southern Utah. I actually did a story on a kid at Southern Utah years ago named Dax Crum. I don't know why the hell you would like. I know Western Illinois is not a good job either. I get
right. No, it's not. Two former Mid-Continent
by the way, next episode, can you get your lighting right? I mean, we've been doing this for how long, and you can't get the goddamn right?
The sun is literally, I've got these windows that are pretty high this here.
Really?
And they're like blinding.
This is such a rookie move by you. Well, I mean, honestly.
We picked a bad time at this
How many years have we been doing this?
Even if I close the door, it won't matter. I guess I could close the curtains, but I'd have to get up and do
this. This is going
to
kill contract negotiations for you. I'm going to tell you that right now.
There's
kill.
A good chance I'm not back next year.
If Doster sees this, he's going to lowball you.
I don't even care. Doster's a bad boss.
And then when he sees your quote, I still want to see him prove it to me.
If you clip it, I swear to God, I will never answer another text that says, when are we doing the podcast? I won't respond.
I will not respond to that.
I will not respond because you need context for what I said. The initial quote is very bad. I will say that, but that's not what I wanted to say. Let me explain what I meant.
All right. You explained it. You explained it and then killed me for Iona.
And yeah. And then you said that slanderous stuff about Tim Klus at Iona. I had shoulder surgery in 2016. Hold on. Let me tell the story.
Okay.
Drew Anthrop.
Where is this going?
It will come back to St. John's. I had my labrum repaired at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City.
Yet another Robbie Hummel injury, by the way.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Terrible shoulder injury. I was blocking out and my shoulder popped out. And
you
I
block did. Out?
Yeah. I can't jump, so how else would I get these rebounds?
Good point. Very true. Very true.
Stupid thing to say. Let me finish this. Anyways. Drew Anthrop, who was my roommate at Purdue and is now the video guy for the Lakers, at the time was a GA for Chris Mullen on the staff alongside your boy
St. Jean. St. Jean, St. my Jean boy Greg St. Jean.
Yes, St. Jean was an assistant. Yes. And they lived in a rectory. The rectory was like this former priest house that they'd given to the men's basketball team to let the guys that weren't making a lot of money live. I'm going to butcher his last name. Luca Virgilio, who's at Nebraska as Dobo. He was there.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, I've had two ACLs. I've had a meniscus repair. I don't need my mom and dad to come out and like take care of me. I'll just.
You're a big boy now.
I am. I'm a pro. Yeah. I'll pay one of the St. John's managers. His name's Nick LaPinto, who now actually works at my agency at Wasserman or the Monte Group. He's a broadcasting agent. I'll pay one of the managers $100 to drive me across the bridge and take me on pain meds to St. John, and I'll just chill there for 2 or 3 days, and I'll fly home. Well, the shoulder was a billion times worse than any surgery. I mean, I was begging for more pain meds because of how bad. I mean, I had 6 anchors put in my shoulder. My shoulder was mangled, so. I stayed for a week and stayed in this haunted priest house where basically Drew, we were watching like game film for the next season on this big projector screen. And I was like super out of it on, you know, hydrocodone because I needed it. So I've been to St. John's. I've seen the way that things are. I know it is not good. I know it's not
good. It is not good, but I'm not sure Rick Pitino, as long as he's got NIL rep, he gets good enough talent in, they'll be in the tournament. Maybe, I think year one, I would think. Now, they missed out.
Who's he got in the portal so far?
Well, one of the guys he didn't get was their best player from Iona, Walter Clayton Jr. He went to Florida, and that was huge.
Tough start.
Right. And no, it is. It is. I mean, he's got the kid Dennis Jenkins coming in from Iona. So he did get –
So wait, they've got one player from a team on Iona that lost in the first round of the tournament, and here you are.
No. He got Quinn Slezinski, too, from Iona, and kid Cruz Davis, who didn't play a whole – he was a freshman.
So wait, they've got 3 players from Iona, and you're hyping this like it's going to be a lock NCAA tournament.
They got a kid from VMI, too.
Jesus. Do you hear what you're saying?
They got the kid from UConn, Aline, who was at Virginia Tech. He won a national title. He's got a ring. But they got work to do.
He played 4 minutes in the national championship game.
I'm not saying they don't have work to do. They do.
You make it sound like this is a lock. I mean, we'll see. We need to clip that. Clip that, what Jeff just said.
I put him preseason top 25 with no players. Doesn't matter. As long as Slick Rick's coaching, they're good. They're
gonna I think be- I'm going to start getting on this bandwagon of the people that hate tweet you.
About what? You're gonna if you do that, I don't need the clip. I just need the quote. I got the quote. It's sitting.
Do not tweet the quote.
The quote is sitting here. And you better be nice to me this offseason.
I'll quit the pod.
This is how I'm going to make sure you do the pod. It will be the Goodman
and someone else podcast next year if that gets tweeted. Let me tell you that.
Tyler Hansbrough's in.
That's fine. Tyler can take it. I hope he gets a raise because I'm not making shit.
He wasn't whining coming out of a New York hospital for shoulder surgery.
Dude, I remember riding across the bridge just being like, this doesn't hurt at all. And literally fast forward 8 hours, and I'm like, holy shit.
So what do you got now that you can't golf? The weather's not cooperating in Chicago or Boston for the next week and a half, I don't think. Go ahead. After what do you got going on? Nothing.
I was out in L.A. I had a USA basketball camp. I'm assistant coach Hummel, so, you know, I got that.
People really call you coach?
Only to upset me because I hate being called that.
Who are you coaching?
Well, the national team is Jimmer and Canyon Berry and Kareem Maddox. And
there's no way those guys listen to you. Canyon does not listen to you.
Canyon listens to me.
No chance. We're gonna get actually that's gonna be a summer pod. We're gonna get Canyon and Jimmer on.
Canyon can tell us about how much he loves pickleball. It'll be great.
I went out there yesterday, first time.
You probably suck. I would kill you in pickleball.
So I'm working on my serve because I have a slice serve. I started with a slice serve, and the guy told me, like, you got to go topspin.
I mean, why don't you mix it up and keep people on balance?
I'm going to. That's what I'm going to do. He said you really need three serves, three different counts.
This sun is in the worst place possible.
I know. You're whining. We're going to have to wrap this because you're whining, you're complaining, you're telling me you're
when do you expect our contract negotiations to commence? I really want to know.
Listen, first of all, this is no time for you to start making demands right now. Look at you.
What do you mean?
Look at you.
I volunteered to come on this podcast and start like 3 months earlier than we ever have. That's initiative.
That is initiative, but man, next time we are not going to do this thing at 6:30 at night.
Well, this is like the worst time of the year because the sun just comes in these windows and then does it set.
Do you not have blinds or anything?
No, I have some curtains, but the windows are pretty high, so
you can't reach curtains. With your 19.5 vertical. You cannot jump and
it's like 20 feet high. So I
20
could.
Feet. Okay.
I swear to God, it is. I'll send you a picture after this. It's like 20 feet of windows.
All right. Now, on that note, we're going to have to get Rob one of those things where you
go fund me for some blinds.
The extenders that can reach up and pull the blinds down. Have you heard of those? Well that'll be in the contract negotiations. All right. Goodman Hummel Pod. We are out. And again, I still want to see him prove it to me. Rob Hummel on Rick Pitino. There you have it. Have a good one. We'll see you next week or two.